Every Memorial Day weekend, thousands of leather folks from around the world gather in Chicago for the International Mr. Leather Contest and Conference. The contest traces its roots back to the Mr. Gold Coast Chicago Leatherman Contest that originated a year after the Stonewall Riots.
This year, Venezuelan hunk Miguel Torres is Mr. Chicago Leather 2014. Miguel will be competing against 50 leathermen from around the world for the coveted title. Today, we're joined by Miguel Torres and his friend, Chicago gay nightlife photographer extraordinaire, Anthony Mead, whose alter ego is the she-larious Sister Bitch, a sister of perpetual indulgence.
Listen as Miguel and Sister Bitch join us to talk about what it's going to take to win the International Mr. Leather title, his thoughts on clown porn, electroshock, and other exotic sexual fetishes.
Plus, a man wants to marry his computer full of porn to protest same-sex marriage.
New studies show gay and bi folks get turned on by same-sex pheromones.
And Finland's post office introduces the new sexy Tom of Finland stamps.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Not Shaving gives me more time for misbehaving. Get this sexy t-shirt and all our fabulous designs at feastoffun.com/store.
You know, Mark, I was thinking, they need to do a RuPaul's Drag Race for Leathermen, like a TV show.
That'd be hot.
Yeah. It's like, it'll be like 12 Leathermen contestants, all competing to be America's next Leatherman superstar.
Could you imagine what their ball would be like? It'd be like, give us some back alley realness. Some puppy play authenticity. What would happen?
Well, that's a question a lot of people ask us, and when they ask us, what is the Mr. International Leather Contest and Competition and Conference that happens here Memorial Day in Chicago every year, brings hundreds of thousands of leathermen and kinky fetishists of all gender and sexual persuasions together, and it's a whole lot of fun. But a lot of people are like, what is this contest about, and what are the criteria? Is it a beauty pageant? Is it are guys like sucking dicks on stage?
What terrible things do people have to do to win this title?
So our guest today is Miguel Torres, Mr. Chicago Leather 2014. Miguel is going to be competing against 50 leathermen from around the world at the IML contest this coming Memorial Day weekend. And we're also joined by Chicago gay nightlife photographer extraordinaire Anthony Mead, who told me to introduce him like that.
Yes, I did.
Whose alter ego is the she-larious sister of perpetual indulgence, Sister Bitch.
Yes.
Welcome, guys, Feast of Fun.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So before we even get to what International Mr. Leather is, why are you even doing like a media blitz or any kind of you guys are doing like press junkets for this?
It goes into why I'm doing this. I want to expose the leather community. I want to make sure that people know what we're all about, that people are not afraid of going to a leather bar. I know that me myself, just a few years ago, I would think, oh, I will never go to a leather bar because I'm just going to go get raped. And it's all about hooking up and having sex.
Isn't it?
It is if you wanted it to be. Why does that happen there? It's because we don't judge. So you can get there and you can go and have a fruity drink, or you can go there and go to the back bar and do whatever you want. And nobody's going to say anything about it. So that's why those leather bars have that fame. You go there, you wear your leather, and you know people are into leather and it smells really good. And also, you can go and do whatever you want. So for example, my title bar, Touché, has two bars, the front bar and the back bar. The front bar, it's the friendly social bar that nothing sexual happens, at least not early.
But then, not over.
There's
people
a back bar.
Pool, they hang out.
A few cocktails.
Exactly. There's a back bar with a little dark area.
And then there's the fun bar in the
exactly,
back.
Exactly, with different music, different ambience, different bartenders. And, you go back and forth. And I actually like the back bar better because people are more just relaxed. people are...
Well, yeah, their dicks are hanging out.
You don't have to. There's part of it that is.
But so the whole interest in doing press for International Mr. Leather and why the contest is even held is a form of cultural activism.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely evolved into that. The contest was started in Chicago in 1979. This is year number 36.
It was the first of its kind.
It evolved from a Mr. Gold Coast contest.
Well, it's because gay bars have always needed things to do to bring in people to drink and have events, and then this grew into a legitimate, serious, big thing.
Yeah, I mean, last year there was 22,000 people in attendance. It's actually one of the largest conventions in the city of Chicago that nobody knows about outside the gay community.
Well, except I love it when they, all the tourists come into town for Memorial Day weekend, and then they see all these leathermen at these hotels. They're just like, "What is going on?" Shield the children. Shield the children.
So, Anthony, sister bitch, shall I call you?
Sister bitch,
can I call
please?
You Jiggly?
Just call me bitch. Most people do anyway.
Miguel's publicist or friend?
I started this journey. Actually, it was a joke. Not a joke, but we had kind of coerced him into MPTA, and we had gone to Bear Week last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were all, at the pool having a good time, and he had mentioned that he wanted to do it. And we're like, well, why would you not do it? And I was talking with him on this on Sunday. He's one of those people that you meet and you automatically you feel like you've known Miguel all your life. And so with him, he brought a camaraderie about the leather community where people with some kind of shy away and not want to interest. But with him, he brings it kind of to their faces and they're comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. Whereas he was afraid that, you go in a leather bar and get raped. Where he brings a different face to it, which is, everybody's accepted, everybody is wanted in this community.
If you're wearing leather.
No, you don't have to wear leather.
Not necessarily. I mean, there's a person, actually the winner of Mr. Fetish, Jackhammer, from last weekend. I met him at the back bar of Touche, and he was wearing his sports gear.
Now, what was this contest that happened? We were talking about this before we started taping. The Mr. Fetish contest. They were bringing adult babies, clowns. There was a guy dressed up as a clown.
So yes, there were, and it's a contest that it was this was the first iteration of it. I was lucky to be one of the judges, and what we just wanted is for people to remember that you can be kinky in a bar and it's okay, and you can bring all your kinks with it. We had four great contestants. Connor McCarty was the winner.
And what was his fetish?
Sports gear. So a locker room kind of thing. And
Which game or athletic game?
Soccer. He was wearing soccer, yes.
I think the weirdest one, we were talking about this on Sunday, was the Freddie Mercury. Was that one of them?
Oh, yeah. One thing that Mr. Chicago Leather doesn't do is had a fantasy part of it. Other contests around the world have the fantasy scene where you have to recreate your fantasy on stage. And you get judged on that. Yes, it's very.
So what did they recreate?
So the one that won second place, Donald, he recreated this fetish where he was playing the Ouija board, and then Queen starts playing in the background, and then Freddie Mercury comes in and then has like rough sex right there with him. And I thought that was so original.
What song is playing while that's
Call Me on the Ouija Board by Sharon Needles?
As you know, everybody's got their thing, but everybody in the bar was like...
Your thing is to have sex with the ghost of
Freddie Mercury. We're hearing Queen's Don't Stop Me Now. I'm having such a good time.
We Will Rock You.
Yes. Sporty. Aggressive masculine.
Aggressive masculine, yeah.
What are the criteria to win Mr. Chicago Leather, and
what terrible things did you have to do to get the title?
So, well, first you have to submit an application. they ask you, what are your hobbies and interests, and how do you get into the leather community and things like that.
I like sucking dicks. Getting spanked.
I mean, there's fetishes. There's a fetish section which says what you're into. So if that's what you want to put in the application, that's fine.
What did you put in your application?
Because
you won it.
Yes.
So it matters what you say.
As far as fetishes, well, I like beards, calves, and I recently discovered that I like flogged. I like getting flogged, but that just happened last weekend. So
for people who may not know what flogging is,
it's when you get hit somebody on the back with a string of leather or
What did you say? Beards? Calves?
Calves. Not like the cow, but the
like guy's calves.
The guy's calves.
So you like to like lick them? Or
like strong
massage
legs.
Them.
Massage
yes,
them, lick
yes,
them.
Yes.
Mark has very nice calves.
I have strong calves.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Because you and I have been chatting with each other on
I know.
Scruff for 5 years, since the app started.
I remember.
Yeah. For years, girl.
I know. When I walked in here, oh, you.
It's you.
Well, I met you at DILF one night, and I was just like, I've been chatting with you online. He's like, you're Mr. Chicago Leather.
Yeah.
And then I think you came up on my Facebook feed, and I was just like, I got to invite this guy.
Well, some people say that it's like, you know, the leather contest is just a popularity contest. What do you say about that?
No. I mean, one, it's not voted by the people. It's voted by a panel of judges. We had to go through a rigorous 15-minute interview.
What kind of questions they ask you?
They ask you pretty much anything that you put on your application to expand on that. They do follow-up questions of what you answer. They make me dance on stage because I love to dance, and I put on my application that I love to do it. I love dancing, so they make me dance. They make me show up my favorite moves.
Can we make a Vine video of you dancing?
There's already a video on Facebook. But
no,
sure,
but on our channel.
All right, fine.
Oh, you promise? Okay, we'll do it.
I'll do it on my full leather.
Tell us about what you're wearing today. You've got you look fantastic, by the way.
Thank you. I'm wearing my full formal leather. So I have my title vest. That says Mr. Chicago Leather. That's when you win, they give you the title vest. That was made by Leather 6410 up next to Jackhammer.
Okay.
I have two pins. I have the Mr. Friendly pin, which I carry with me at all time. Mr. Friendly is a great organization that whoever wins this, it's to raise the awareness and raise the stigma of people being HIV positive. So this, whoever carries this pin pretty much says, I don't care what your status is. I'll accept you no matter what.
And for people who can't see this, the logo looks like the Mr. Jack in the Box without the hat.
Actually, yes, you're right.
It's a happy smiley face with a plus sign for a nose mm-hmm. and a negative sign for one winking eye.
Yeah, and then I also have the Leather Archives Museum pin, which I also carry with me.
Because that's part of your cultural activism is you're doing our fundraiser this Friday coming up for the Leather Archives and Museum, which is actually right up the street from where we live here.
Yep, and it's very close.
And that's also IML benefits, I think, that organization
Correct.
Significantly.
And
it's preserving the history of leather, because for a lot of people that don't know, leather really kind of started or really gained momentum here in Chicago.
Well, and you know, you think you don't need preservatives for leather, but it takes a lot of shoe polish to keep that shit looking good.
The archives is not just a room yeah. full of leather, which we mm-hmm. do have. It's a temperature control room that people from all over the world send their sashes and stoles and whatever they want to preserve. And there's a full room, and I recommend anyone to go there because it's pretty amazing.
Do you get to try stuff on?
No, you can't touch.
Yeah, you have to. If you want to touch it, you have to wear gloves, and it's like.
And you have to be an archivist or like.
Yeah.
Is your red tie, is that leather?
Yes.
And is your shirt leather?
Yes.
Are you wearing anything that's not leather right now? Is your underwear leather?
There's no underwear.
You're not wearing any underwear.
Nope.
Are you wearing socks?
Yes, they're not leather.
Okay,
yes.
So besides your socks, everything else on your body is leather.
Pretty much, yes.
Is it hard to move around wearing all that much
cowhide? You get used to it. You get used to it.
Are you hot? Is it hot?
Not right now, no, no. Okay.
When we did the photo shoot a couple of weeks ago, we were over on Hollywood Beach.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get him to squat and do all these poses, and he'd get down so far, like, nope, that's not working. Nope, that's not working.
I mean, yeah, you learn very quickly how far can you go on certain moves. Like, I can't lift my arm too high because there's fears that...
Can you, reach for the sky like Beyonce?
That's as far as you can go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without stressing the leather. I don't want it to stretch.
There's no snap and twirl in leather.
No.
Yeah, this thing that crosses you across the belt that you're wearing.
Yeah, this
you
is
a diagonal belt.
It's called the Sam Brown. It's part of the official leather uniform. This was invented by Sam Brown, a British soldier working in India in the 1800s. He had lost an arm and needed it to, you know, keep his sword steady. So he mm-hmm. pretty much invented this belt, and that got adopted by the British Army and then by the German Army, and then became kind of part of the leather culture as well.
And it looks damn good.
It looks good. So where's your sword?
No, I didn't bring it today. I left
but
it.
But do you have a sword?
No. No.
So what advice do you give to people who want to like win a Mr. Leather contest in their city or the international one? What is your strategy going to be?
There's a myth that there's actually a strategy. There's not really a strategy. Something that we tell people that are interested is you can have the same contestants and totally different judges, and two totally different winners will be picked. So it's all about being in the right place at the right time.
Okay.
The leather community.
So are you saying that it's random?
It's not random. Okay. It's just being. It's what the judges are looking for.
Yeah.
And I mean, to me, if saying that in a different set of circumstances, a different winner would come is implying that it's random.
There's a fairly small chance, you know, randomness portion of it, but it's also about what the judges asked and what they, you know, how you respond to them. And
if I want to fuck it up and fail at it, what is the way to fuck it up?
If you go on stage and say, "And I'm wearing leather because I want to get laid a lot and I look damn good in it," that probably won't.
Really?
See, that's the thing. Also, I think we were talking about this. Is Miguel is someone that as our community has been, and knowing Miguel, this is a role that he has grown into. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those roles he adapted in part of his lifestyle. And like I said earlier on, he made it something common that is a natural thing, not something he would, you know, some people look at the leather scene, the leather community like, oh, they're freaks or whatever, but he made it a very common, nice thing to, you know, people, actually, we will be out in his full garb and people ask him, like, you know, what's this about? And he'll stand there and talk to them. And people are like, wow, that I never knew that, you know, so it's kind of like having a common face in the crowd.
And also, you have a very friendly face, Boris. I think a lot of times people may be intimidated by leather because they think, oh, my God, I'm going to get spanked. I'm going to get beaten.
Exactly.
I'm going
to
be bruised.
And I used to be one of them. So yeah. I would be the first to admit that that's the image, because I used to be one of them as little as 4 or 5 years ago.
Because some leather men are actually tender lovers, right?
Yeah.
They're not all about,
I'm a great cuddler.
Well, see, there's two different sides. You know, when we did photos, Colin Davis did some really amazing photos with him that turned a different side of the leather that he does on. Whereas I capture, he's my friend, I capture a side of him that a lot of people don't get to see. The friendly, laid back, you know what I'm saying? He brings a different side of leather to that I get. Whereas, you know, it's like kind of like two different photographers grab two different things.
So what you guys are looking for is somebody who's charismatic, who inspires other people to be comfortable in their sexuality.
It's all about, yeah, be comfortable in sexuality, be comfortable in your own skin. You don't have to be a big muscle man, masculine, to be a leather man.
They gave it 1 year to a person in a wheelchair.
Exactly.
A trans guy in a wheelchair.
The wheelchair guy and the trans guy were the same person?
That's why they're like, well, we never have to give it to handicapped or trans person again.
I think this year there is a trans person competing.
And then, so that's what I'm trying to portray, is that you don't have to be a big masculine guy. It's okay if you smile. It's okay if you're silly. It's not about how you present yourself. It's about the brotherhood and the connections that you make. The people that competed with me during Mr. Chicago Leather, there were six of us. They have become one of my closest group of friends. And I met them that night. We went together through the process, and now we go everywhere together.
Well, that's what Darianne Lake on RuPaul's Drag Race said, too. That,
exactly. Contest make things together.
I'm going to have a friends for life from this experience, but, you know.
Oh, she got kicked off. Gee, I haven't seen that episode.
Oh, well.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Well, because you're a fan of RuPaul's Drag Race, and you're also finding yourself in a kind of a pageant, in a sense.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yes. I mean, it's definitely, there's a pageantry about it. You still have to go on stage on full formals on jockstrap. There's a jockstrap round. There's a, you know.
What kind of jockstrap are you going to wear?
Leather jockstrap.
So do most people wear
a leather one, or can you wear any kind of jockstrap?
No, well, you're expected to wear leather. Yeah. Okay.
So is there equivalent of lip syncing for your life for leather men?
And don't fuck it up.
Well, there's a speech round, which if you, so the contest on Sunday night, what happens is everybody after the interviews were done, they're done during the week, earlier in the day and the day before. Then they go on Sunday night on the stage and they say, these are your top 20. Once you make to the top 20, then those top 20 get to do a 90-second speech. And you can make it as for anything you want, but you're obviously being judged on the speech and how you present it. And You know, and all that. So that's kind of, I guess that would be the equivalent.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have your speech prepared?
Most of it. I don't like memorizing things, so yeah. I have a lot of bullet points.
Tell him how you got your speech. That's always, no, it's a fun story. It's a cute story.
Listen. So I, you know, there's, sometimes I wake up with jitters about, oh my God, what am I going to do? My mom is going to be on an IML and she's going to see me in a jockstrap and I'm going to be on stage and she's super happy about it anyway. She's like, oh, change your diapers. I know what you look like.
Well, I think if your parents are well adjusted, I think when they have a kid that comes out as gay, it's such a rare thing that it's kind of like a blessing.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, I came out to her many years ago, 17 years ago or so, as a gay man. And now this year I came out to her as a Leatherman. And so there's a lot of questions about what does that mean.
What did you say to your mother when you came out as a Leatherman? You said, Mama, I like leather.
Well, no, she said, she found out once I won Mr. Chicago Leather, my face was all over the place and all over Facebook. And she's like, so I found this video of you winning on YouTube. And she texted to me then that same night. So I was like, and all she said was, I'm not sure what it is, but I'm proud of you.
Aww.
So, Do you think your mom will get into leather?
Huh?
Do you think your mom will get into leather?
My mom loves leather boots. She will love that contest. Oh, yes.
Is she going to wear some leather?
Oh, yes.
Awesome.
Because you're from Venezuela.
Yes, I am.
Which is the next to Brazil, the country with the most plastic surgery in the world. And a lot of the women there are virtually drag queens. You know, they just, lots of hair, lots of makeup. Lots of extreme fashion and leather boots, and they like their stripper boots.
Yeah, that's my mom. My mom definitely rocks those in miniskirts. She may be almost 60, but take her salsa dancing, and she has the skinniest, skimpiest dress out there.
Last year for Thanksgiving, he posted a photo. He goes, I love when my mom fixed Thanksgiving dinner, and she was all decked out with the leather skirt, the boots. The whole nine yards. She looked really good. His mom's really fabulous.
What's really nice if you go to a Venezuelan, family's home, because they always have food in the refrigerator.
Oh, for sure.
Bring out a little chuleta, some tostones or maduros.
Chimichurri.
Arepas. Yeah. So, I mean, how does one really win? Is it a situation where you like have to butter up the judges or like?
No.
Slip him a 20?
No, I mean, the biggest advice that I've gotten from previous contestants and winners have been just go there and have fun and be yourself.
Do you get any money if you win?
I think so. I haven't looked at the prices.
$100,000.
I doubt it would be $100,000.
And a lifetime supply of Mephisto leathers.
I wish, because yeah.
Because so, leather can be kind of, I mean, oh, there's a price point. It's very expensive to get in
for
there.
Sure.
You have Sitgo money sponsoring
and
you.
And then there's a, no, I wish. No, there's a, I mean, that's why usually people that go into the leather contest are people that have been in the community for a while, just because you get to accumulate over the years all the leathers that you want to wear and all that stuff. And for me, I was fairly new, and when I was asked to run a year or so ago, that somebody said I should consider it. And I said, but I only have a harness. That's pretty much it. And so I spent like the year kind of pondering over it. I got some more leather. I mean, I definitely enjoyed it. So
because you need it for that weekend too. It's like, our friend Martin Settergren, who was Mr. Leather Europe 2007 or 2008, I forget. It was like, we hung out with him one weekend for IML, and it was just like every 5 hours there was a costume change. Like he brought like suitcases filled with things just
That's the plan.
For people who have modest income who want to compete in leather competitions, do they need leather or can they just get a roll of duct tape and some garbage bags?
No. So what we do is to try to encourage people to run, the people that want to run but don't have leather, they just have to approach us and we will help them. I know that one of my friends that was producing a contest and he had a hard time finding contestants. And one of them came and said, oh, yeah, it's because I don't have enough leather. And he went to his closet, took all his leather, put a tub in the basement, says, here, pick your outfits, go up there. And enjoy yourselves.
Nice.
Nice.
Can vegans become leathermen? Like, can you do a vinyl version of a pleather?
Pleather.
Well, I think Howard Brown, to the resale store here in Chicago.
The Brown Elephant.
Brown Elephant, mm-hmm. Yes. They I think they have a leather section.
Yes,
don't
they do. So. Yes, they do. Yeah.
And when you came out to your mom as Leatherman, did you do it in English or in Spanish?
Well, she found out.
Okay.
And then we went to have dim sum in Chinatown one day. And I brought my stole and my vest, and I showed her everything.
Wow.
Yeah, I said, and then...
you pulled out your whips.
Yes. Well, she's seen it on Facebook by now.
So did you say, mami, yo soy un hombre cuero, a leatherman? What, I mean, is there a word for leatherman in Spanish? Or
you know, I learned how to be a leatherman here. Yeah. I never talked to in Spanish, but I would say, yeah, it's a cuero, it's leather, so...
Hombre cuero. It sounds weird to translate.
Hombre en cuero.
Hombre en cuero. Could
hombre
be.
En cuero. Yeah.
I didn't have the fortune to run into a leather community in Caracas back when I was 21.
Is there one?
I don't know. I was recently interviewed by a gay website, a Venezuelan gay website, mm-hmm. when they found out that I'm a Venezuelan and I was Mr. Chicago. So I did an interview for them, and a couple of people responded. But I didn't get the sense that there's a big leather community. Mm-hmm. I hope there is. And if not, I hope I inspire some people to be in it. I never went to any leather bar over there.
Yeah, I think that there's certain hot pockets in the world where leather is really a big, Chicago being one, like Berlin being another.
And, see, I'm like Alaska Thunderfuck. I want to get a roll of duct tape and some garbage bags mm-hmm. and make myself a fierce outfit.
So, you know, I mean, there's a newer generation of people that yeah. are playing with the traditional outfits and kind of quite causing a stir with the more established older member
the
community
old guard
members.
Versus oh, yes. the young guard.
Correct.
Yeah. So there's a conservative feel camp of leather and a liberal one?
Correct.
Are you... What camp are you in?
I'm a little bit in the middle, and I know that's the easy answer, but I do belong to a club called Bluff, which is a breeches and leather uniform fan club. I do love wearing leather uniforms and the formality and the history of it. I also get along with people that are curious about it, and they want to do their own spin, and I just tell them just do your own thing.
It'd be a part of it. The rift is it's you know the older generation that likes the classic leather look, the leather vests, the mm-hmm. leather hats, all that kind of stuff.
Correct.
And then the younger people that come to IML as well is you know they want the fetish. They want to wear their little wrestling singlets. They want to wear you know their rabbit outfits. They want to wear their baby diapers.
Or they want to wear their leather harness with rhinestones. I've seen mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, I pissed off Martin because I told him I wanted a pink Hello Kitty harness, and he was so offended by that. I was just like, why did it make him so mad? I don't know. Because he's just like, because I think it was probably because it was too feminine or cutesy or something. And I just, for whatever reason, I knew it would bother him.
I mean, it's you have to thread carefully in those waters, yeah. but not offend a lot of people. I obviously do enjoy the tradition part of it. I have a couple of two or three mentors that have meant a lot to me that have been passing down history and teaching me about new fetishes mm-hmm. and teaching me about different ways of pleasure.
Oh, yeah? Like what? Do tell.
We have the flogging. We have the electro play or the cigar play or the... you know, there's several ways of
cigar
the
play. That like sounds
Monica
painful.
Lewinsky and didn't
So it's just a matter of knowing your body, knowing your limits, and knowing to control your own pain. And
lit cigar pain or like
it's lit
Bill
cigar,
Clinton
but
style.
It's, no,
sucking on it.
No, it's it's cigar play.
Somebody burning you with a cigar.
It's not burning. They will. It's more about sensation.
Smoldering.
They'll pass it really close to your skin. You kind of close your eyes and then focus on the heat. And then once in a while, they will just do a little pinch and you get a little bit startled, but it goes right away. And then that becomes pleasurable.
Now, do you do it like on your arm, your body, nipples, penis, anywhere?
Anywhere. It depends on how, because it's kind of an art and you have to know mm-hmm. your body and you have to know someone's body and what sensitive mm-hmm. parts are and how delicate some parts are. So I've seen people do it on their faces, over their eyes. But you have to be careful with, you know, ashes and, you know, that thing. So I recently just got it done by someone that was very experienced. And that's become a huge mentor to me. And it was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
If you let yourself go and just enjoy it for what it is, It's awesome.
In bars in Tijuana, there usually is some guy going around with a car battery and two electrodes. And it's being like, people pay money to see how much juice they can take. And so when we did a live podcast in Los Angeles, one of our listeners,
Buzz,
is an electrocution fetishist. And he like carries a taser with him. And he tasered me in front of the audience. And I have to tell, I was terrified. And Mark thought I was going to have a heart attack and die.
I was like, you're going to die here in California.
But did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed the terror and the fear, but the being electrocuted is kind of like stepping on glass, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's like, but don't you kind of feel like afterwards you kind of got like a little bit of a high because your endorphins are running?
That's totally what it is. It's the endorphins. That's my favorite part of flogging. I had never done it. I was curious about it, and I had the locked it during CLAW, the Cleveland Leather Awareness Weekend, which just happened a couple of weekends ago. They had a flogging class, and so I went and attended, and where they teach you how to do it. And then if you want, you have someone do it to you.
You got flogged before at the the Leather Mart. There was a St. Andrew's Cross, and somebody was doing flogging.
I was like, let me see what the big fuss is all about.
And did you like it?
Well, to describe it to the listeners, it's kind of like when you have athlete's foot and you scratch so much your feet that it starts bleeding and it kind of feels good, you know?
Now there's an image for you.
Mm-hmm. You're just like scratching until blood comes out, and you're like, fuck the blood. Feels good.
The flogging, is it mainly on your back, or is it on the ass as well?
No, on your back.
On the back. Okay. Because a lot of people like that spanking because it's
very spanking. I also try that out.
Yeah.
That was pretty intense. Yeah.
With a paddle or?
Paddle, yes. A couple of paddles. There's several ones. There's ones.
Was there stuff that you tried? You were like, I am not doing this again.
The spanking took me a couple of days so I could sit down well. Like, it was pretty,
Oh, so they really went at it.
I have pictures.
Miguel, is a lot of this like sexual experimentation coming with the territory of competing for Mr. Leather, or is this something that you already were interested in? And
it's something that a lot of it I've heard, a lot of it I got exposed once I won and I started getting involved with the leather community. And a lot of it is just, I'm just a very curious guy.
So you're opening up like a dictionary of sexual fetishes and going like A, B, down the list.
So I'm just going to like, oh yeah, you're into food play. Okay, what does that mean? It's like, oh, I get off by putting food on people and smothering with whipped cream. I'm like, okay, well, if you like it, there must be some truth to it. Why would you like it?
I don't want to speak negatively about anyone's sexual pleasures or anything, but what is the one fetish that you see you just don't get? That you're like, what the fuck are you doing? Why? To me, like, I'm thrilled about adult babies, but, you know, it's hard to, like, identify with somebody who's a stinker or a drinker, you know?
Well, I mean, for me, it's like the baby part I wouldn't do. I wouldn't do because I know that I wouldn't get into it. But, I respect the people that do.
But what's one that you, like, personally don't want to, like, besides adult babies? You're not into adult babies.
Or dressing up as a clown. I know.
I didn't realize clown porn is a real thing.
I had a giant clown measuring tape that my mom brought when I was a kid, and that used to be lit up whenever there was like lightning storms, and I could watch it from my bed, and I used to have nightmares for that thing.
So you're like the little boy in Poltergeist that got strangled by his clown
so
doll.
I do not.
And
I,
you recently encountered a clown at the fetish
I was like, wow, I didn't even know this existed. And that I
was, so he was in clown face. Was he wearing a clown outfit too, or was he like
a little bit? A
little bit,
yeah.
But I've seen some clown porn as Bozo's 50 Load Weekend, Under the Big Top. Who wants a peanut?
You know,
just
being one of the sisters, you know, at one point. It's just kind of funny how people, they're like, I remember, because I'm a thicker guy, and somebody's like, you look like John Wayne Gacy. What's up with this? And I'm like, he goes, I'm just terrified of you.
Well, the sisters are kind of clowns, intentionally right? Because that's why they choose the white makeup.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Abbess of the Windy City, right? Is that what it is?
Of the Windy City Sisters, yes.
You've been involved with the Chicago chapter for almost 10 years.
Well, no, not that long. We just started not long ago.
You guys started in 2006. And guess
that was the initial group of people that started it.
And yes. Do you know how that got started?
Here in Chicago. Well, every chapter has their own. Every city has their own.
I know the history.
Okay. now he's gonna put me
on
the spot.
We did a live podcast at Mickey's in West Hollywood with Sally, Amanda,
Miss Ronnie.
30-year anniversary thing, right?
We did a meet and greet with our listeners. It was our first one, and Mickey's, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence in WeHo, presented us with the key to the city of WeHo, and they fell in love with Sally, and they loved his look, and they're like, you have to become a sister. He's like, I am not going to be a novice. I'm already dressed in face. Like, I do face all the time. I'm like, okay, we'll let you slide.
Yeah, Sally was always in face anyway.
So it was John Brosnan, Sally, and JoJo became the first three sisters, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then they roped you guys into doing all this dirty work for them.
Yeah, well, no. You know,
what's really funny is that they took like dress collars to make their habits.
Well, what's kind of funny is, that was the first initial.
That was Sally's idea.
That was Sally's idea. And then we went on a bus crawl a couple of years ago, and we were doing the Christmas bus crawl. And of course, I had just a couple of cocktails, and I was trying to say the Windy City Sisters. I ended up saying the Wabby. So the headdress that we have now is like the Flying Nun.
Okay,
so
yes,
they're
I like that.
Oh my God, that would be an amazing name for our headdress. And so I went down and I got to name our headdress. It's called the Wabby. It was voted in, so that's our name of the sisters.
And besides, like, you know, freaking out the squares, there is an actual, like, purpose to dressing up as demented clown-like nuns.
Well, it's kind of one of the things that, you know, fits hand-in-hand kind of with the IML thing. It's, you know, I feel like I was already a sister long before I was that common face in the crowd, being that I've done nightlife photography for so long. And people just, you know, I'm a firm believer you just be good to people and you reap what you sow. And then I just incorporated that into the sister kind of thing, where it was just a common face that somebody realized if they're having a bad night, there's Anthony Mead or there's Miguel Torres. You know what I'm saying? It's that person you know if at the end of the night you can go up and talk to, and somebody actually care about you. Because I find that very sad in the community that we live in today, that everybody's got their little cliques and everybody's got their own little groups of people. And there's sometimes some people just don't fit into any of those molds. And so it's a common face, and that was one of our things. And the sisters started.
You're guardian angels of gay bars culture.
Yes, and it, you know, it's also, you know, the it's just a fun. You're a clown. People identify. It's amazing when we all go out, or you know, we're out in a group of people. How many people just want pictures with us? You know, and they're like, "What is this about?" You know. Of course, we've seen some people like, "What the." What's this all
about?
I'm
surprised that in 2014, with so many people knowing about gay and lesbian history, that people aren't still not familiar with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Well, it's, you know, it started years ago in San Francisco when all the AIDS epidemic began to evolve and stuff, and just turned into something where everybody wanted to care about, you know, that epidemic that no one else seemed to care about.
And the group traces its origins also to the Stonewall riots, and a lot of people involved in activism in the early 70s founded the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a pretty amazing, you know, organization to be, you know, a part of and to have been a part of. And it's definitely had me grow as a, you know, as a person. And it gave me a persona other than the photographer guy.
And when are you guys going to bring the Sexy Jesus Contest?
You know what? We've actually talked about that. I think that'd be fabulous.
San Francisco for how many years now? And it's like, it looks, I mean, of course, San Francisco is filled with lots of people that look like Jesus, but I think we could find a few that look like Jesus.
Well, it's kind of like that Santa Speedo run that they do. Yeah. You know, that I find that very fun. And I think still sometimes there's those conservatives that you start talking about the Bible and Jesus and stuff, and it's still kind of that gray area, like, I don't know if we want to go there with it or not. But I think
it might be a little controversial
for Chicago. If people realize it's done in tongue-in-cheek, and it could be actually a very fun thing that raise a lot of money and awareness for something fabulous, why not do it?
Why not do it? I think I think you definitely should.
I find Jesus kind of hot. I'm not a fan of long hair, but
The country of Finland, where Tom of Finland is a illustrator who drew all these erotic drawings of men having sex with their giant penises and perfect bodies. And the Finland's post office is introducing new sexy Tom of Finland stamps. Why can't we get those in America?
Well, you're going to have to get somebody from Finland to mail you them. But they're going to have like three different looks of like these hot, muscular men and with their, you know, their bulging packages and leather outfits.
So you're going to have like a bulging dick, albeit covered in a pair of pants, on a stamp so you can send to the United States, and then there's going to be a United States Federal Post Office worker and look at this and be like, this is pornography.
Oh, yeah.
We need to find a mail buddy from Finland so we can trade letters.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm sure you might be able to buy it online, though.
That, or somebody forget and they just lick the stamp and put it on and go, hi, Mom, here's your Mother's Day card.
Yeah. Oh, shit, I got to send out that card. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, Mother's Day is coming this Sunday, yes. So don't forget your mother. Send them a card.
Yeah, but, you know, and Tom Finn, his art really kind of had a profound influence on leather culture.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And
defined it.
Defined it in many ways. You know, he drew these items and people were like, this is sexy. I want to look like this.
And his most controversial cartoons was portrayed Jewish prisoners in a Nazi camp that turned the tables on their guards and fuck them and escape.
That's hot.
And so it's all this like Nazi fetish, you know, soldier fetishes, and you're having these like also, you know, people who are in prison or extermination camps didn't have pecs and abs. You know, but these guys, so it's kind of a fantasy world, but it's I mean, I've seen some of the like really controversial cartoons and they're pretty fucking out there, you know.
You know, going to doing what we've, you know, just traveling with him around different places, I would never consider myself vanilla, but it's definitely opened my eyes into things that I never like, oh wow, that's interesting. And I'm like him, I've become more curious about things that I never knew about. And it's like, yeah, if it, I've got a motto, if it feels good, do it. Why not? You know?
Do it twice.
If it feels good, do it twice, yeah.
What is the value in expanding your sexual horizons?
You discover who you are and what you're into, and you become so sure of yourself and hopefully inspire others to do the same. Like, why keep yourself behind a closet? And when you can truly be who you are and enjoy life. Life is awesome. Just go there and get it, you know?
Well, Miguel, I wish you nothing but the best, you know, in this contest. I think, you know, you're certainly a front runner. Well, you're the only person we've ever talked to.
This year, so.
Well, thank you. I'll take that.
But, you know, it's I'm very good at picking winners. I did say that Courtney Act was going to win.
She still might. Watching the episode yesterday, the other episode, I was kind of thinking.
May not.
I mean, it's really Bianca's game, but Courtney's is very, very, very strong second. And you never know. RuPaul might think, you know what, Bianca's wonderful, but what happens if I give somebody who basically most of their comedy is based on being a bitch and being miserable, what if I give them this grand prize? How will that change them? Don't we want them to be the person that didn't make it so she can complain about it?
But at the same time, Courtney is more of a, I'm beautiful, and it's all about like having, you know, the body and the face and all that.
Yeah,
and
but she's super talented, too. She's funny, she's charming, she's smart.
That angel dress kind of blew me away.
Yeah.
The whole wing thing.
That was so Cirque du Soleil.
It was very Cirque du Soleil.
Well, so if you don't win at Mr. Chicago, or if you don't win IML, maybe just go into drag.
I asked him about that the other day.
No. I will stay with the leather community. Thank you.
Do you guys like, instead of sissy that walk, you have to butch that walk.
And some of them just don't get it still.
Oh, there's plenty that sissy that walk, too.
But is there an intentional masculinity or masculine artifice happening backstage, or intentionally changing your behavior, or like, you know, I'm a leather, like speaking lower and
it's more of a faster. Just be confident, like more than to be masculine or anything. It's just be confident and comfortable with who you are, and you just go for it. That's what. So hopefully,
you're not gonna
my
have like somebody be like, I want to win Mr. Leather.
I mean, some of our brothers are like that, and that's okay. You know, it's like whatever. There's people that are hilarious and people that make us during Claw. There's people that just made us laugh and did a whole performance of synchronized swimming and voguing and things like that, and it was awesome.
What I noticed, because we actually sat and watched a bit of the contest, the interview portion, and I noticed that none of the contestants really cuss. They're not like sexually explicit. You know what I'm saying? They're not like, I love to suck dick and fuck and get spanked and all that. They were like, I want to bring the community together and
I will. And then it goes to what we talked before. It's like you become an ambassador pretty much. And what you do is you try to change the community and bring, raise awareness on the causes you believe in and raise money for them too.
Well, people come for the sex, but they stay for the relationships that they have, I would imagine.
Yeah, like I would say the original part of it is, yes, you're interested in leather. You love how it looks. You love how it looks in other people and like yourself and your smell. Yeah.
The thing I like most about IML people is the parties, crashing the parties in the hotel rooms. And Mark and I went to one that was a superhero underwear-themed party.
I was there.
You were there at the thing, yes.
With us?
No.
Well, this was like... Three years ago?
3 years ago, yes.
And we met a guy. What was his? I'm blanking on his name.
Alabaster?
Alabaster.
Yes. I was a Ninja Turtle.
Yes. Okay. So I think you actually were at this. The
Bloody Ninja Turtle, yeah.
And so we got there because he like invited us through Scruff. And we got there and he was like, we don't have any, you know. I'm wearing granny panties, basically.
I think we had Fruit of the Loom on.
Like, real old.
Can you imagine what those maids must walk in the rooms when they're trying to do their house cleaning and just stand in awe of some...
I'm sure they're just like, what?
I would be afraid. I mean, there was all these cool guys, really, really cute guys, wearing Superman underoos. And so Alabaster lent us his Iron Man... and Captain America underwear. I wore the Captain America, and I think you did the Iron Man.
I don't remember. Because I don't think my underwear stayed on.
Yeah, expected.
So that was a sexy one. Then Mark and I also crashed one with the Real Housewives of New Jersey, the gay housewives.
Jamie and Rich.
We crashed this one party where every surface in the hotel room was covered. And this is a presidential suite. With black plastic.
Easy to clean.
And it was like, you know, one of those pranks when they cover your office and your home with foil, you know, but they use like garbage bags. And I sat down on the bed and like, it was kind of like, you know, being in the scene at the end, that poltergeist scene when the mom is in the pool and all the bodies are clawing over her.
The poltergeist, yeah.
And I kept telling people, be like, listen, I have a neurological condition that I don't like to be grabbed. So you can't touch me, otherwise I'm going to have a seizure.
But we did have fun when we watched the fireworks from the suite.
But it was like, there was like, you know, penis, instead of like zombies. People, it was like, penis.
Because on Saturday night they shoot, you know, fireworks off at Navy Pier.
Yeah, and meanwhile, somebody's in a sling getting some action there, and there was like people like lubing each other
up. It was some
up.
Kind of like organization. I don't think it was Nasty Pig, but it was some kind of pig organization.
It was like Pigs Incorporated.
And they did get us drunk, so.
It was a great part. And that's the thing about like IML is that you get to like meet a lot of extraordinarily diverse, interesting people who have a great sense of humor about their sexuality.
Exactly.
And that's, to me, like what it's all about.
It's just go and have fun.
Yeah. The artist currently known as Prince says he's goddamn ready to stop cussing his motherfucking songs.
Well, it's about fucking time.
That's right. Why is Prince is always like saying some stupid shit just to get some media attention.
Is that what it is? I don't know. Because the thing about it is like, do people even buy his music anymore? Are people still into what
he
does?
Well, because he started to sue fan sites of his for posting recordings of his concerts online. And so he's had a huge backlash on the internet, and people are just like, fuck you, Prince.
But nowadays, it's like, you can't even, avoid that.
Boy George had a meltdown at House of Blues the other night.
What happened?
No way!
Called an obscenity. A woman was taping the show and ended up, he saw her, and he's like,
he called her the C word.
He did a Patti LuPone his performance and started shouting at somebody.
He played 2 hours, played 18 songs, and played like four hits that everybody knew, and everybody else was going to order appetizers in the back because they were bored out of their mind because nobody knew this new music.
You're like, I want Culture Club.
Do you really want to hurt?
Yeah, he did like
he never sang that?
Well, he did like four songs everybody knew, but everything else was from this new album. And it's like, you know, when you go to see somebody, you want to, you know, you pay 50 or 60 bucks, you want to hear some of the hits. And people are like bored and like ordering appetizers on the floor in the middle of the thing. And then he starts just being really, you know, I just heard it was not a good experience.
Was Boy George in costume for it?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. It was a solo artist. Yeah, he was okay. Full hat and everything. So, he looks good though.
I will say that.
Yeah, he's lost some weight.
That short little black guy that played with him and the weird
Mikey Craig, Roy Hay, and John Moss.
And John Moss, who used to be lovers with Boy George, they won't talk to each other anymore.
They talk, but it's
they've kissed and made up.
You know, it's like that dysfunctional family thing. You love to hate him, I guess.
But for our generation, Boy George was the first like gay celebrity we knew.
You know, sure. I think my big one was Iggy Pop. Raw Power was my first intro into like, holy crap, what is this? And then David Bowie with the Ziggy Stardust was a big thing. I remember seeing that. And then I just remember...
And he was bi.
Yeah, he was... You never... You know, but you've noticed, though, George Michael and, like, Elton John, all those guys, we all knew they were big ol' homos, but back in the 80s, you just didn't come out as gay. Mm-hmm. You can be bi, you can do anything you want, but not go that
route. Well, and Boy George really confused people, too, because, like, when he first popped on the scene here in America, like, at least my friends and I and people I went to school with, we all thought he was a girl.
I'm the son of a preacher, man. My dad is a Southern Free Will Baptist preacher.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So I remember we were watching Solid Gold. You guys remember Solid Gold?
Yeah.
And Solid he was Gold on there dancers. Doing Karma Chameleon, and Dad's like, what is that? I'm like, that's Boy George. He goes, don't look like no boy to me.
That's the point.
I remember watching that on TV and being very disillusioned with the fact that John Moss was just playing a single drum
instead of his full kit. He was one of the worst...
Lip syncers
ever, because the song would be playing and he'd be off the drums dancing, you know, da 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 da. Yeah, he was horrible. And, you know, of course, then later in life, you know, you had Annie Lennox coming into the scene, you know, that whole British invasion, you know, Duran, I remember you couldn't know whether they're boys or girls or whatever.
Yeah, but I remember
I don't think any of them have come out as gay.
I remember the National Enquirer having a cover story where it was Annie Lennox and Boy George
on the cover.
Are making America's children homosexuals.
Yep, I remember that. And there was, you know, and I remember when he was on Phil Donahue, and, you know, every time, even everybody knew he was the biggest drag queen that ever walked the earth, he would never say he was gay. He goes, I'd rather have sex or a nice hot cup of tea next to sex or something crazy like that. He never came out until later.
I'd rather tie somebody up.
That's what Walter Mercado, the Liberace of Puerto Rico. He's an astrologer. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, exactly, you're talking about.
This big
mucho, pero mucho amor.
Sobre todo.
What is his name? Because I never knew what
Walter
his name was.
Walter Mercado.
And he's on these big extravagant costumes. Yep.
He said one time in People in Español, yo no soy un homosexual. I am not a homosexual. Because for me, I'm an enlightened being, and I find that a bath full of bubbles or snuggling up with my kitty cat to be orgasmic.
Way to dodge that. And he went for a while by, like, he lost his name because his manager owned his name, so he went by some kind of, like,
Shanti Bagnuna
or something like that.
It's some crazy weird
Shanti Nana.
There's a documentary on Miss Cleo and all these like psychic astrologers and call centers.
I met her at Sidetrack a couple years ago.
Miss Cleo.
She was one of the judges for Windy City Idol's Gay Idol
thing. Yeah, because she and Amy Matheny, who's a radio personality here in Chicago, are like best friends.
Okay.
She was one of my first memories of when I first moved to America.
Miss Cleo.
Yeah, because that was when she was on her prime, all over on TV all the time.
So this documentary is like,
I'm sorry that I don't have the name, but you guys can Google it. Miss Cleo talks about the downfall of her career and how she felt very much attacked and scapegoated.
Because she was she made a lot of money off those telephone lines. I worked in a restaurant once and it was part of a hotel and we got a room service order and the waitress gets off the fridge. She's like, I just got a room order from somebody, from Miss Cleo. I'm just like, oh, really, Miss Cleo? Okay. And then we laughed and then she came down and like looked at her face. I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, that really was Miss Cleo. I was just like,
Call me now, darling.
Do you guys believe in astrology?
No.
Do you believe in the whole psychic reading things?
No, not at all. I did go to a psychic before, and some of the things that she did say did come true, which I was kind of like, she told me my father would die when he was 81, and he died at 81.
Somebody told me a month before moving here that I was going to leave the country, and I had zero plans to do it. I told him he was crazy, and a month later I was here.
Wow.
But the situation with these things is that, you know, if someone told you some bullshit and it didn't come true, you won't be talking about it. You'll forget about
it. It was a big thing, though. Like he said, in a month, you won't be living in this country. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, because I didn't plan this and I didn't plan to come here until like a week before.
Because I can say, like, you're going to win Mr. Leather.
Mm-hmm.
And if you win, you'd be like, wow, Fausto predicted it. But if you don't, people will be like, yeah.
Whatever.
You'll forget about it.
So you know? Michael, Club Kid Michael Alec is now out of prison. For those of you who don't know, he was, you know, this what the movie Party Monster was based on, where and I guess he and somebody else killed their drug dealer.
No, they didn't kill. They chopped him up in a bathtub in about a million pieces.
Yeah.
So one of his friends killed him, and then Michael Alec helped to dispose of the body by chopping up his body.
They chopped him with a small. I guess it was wherever the hell. It was a small knife, and it took him almost 14 hours to dismember the body. And the only reason he got caught was the torso washed up on shore. That's what happened. They never found the other pieces.
And a lot of people suspected him that he had killed him for a long, long time. I think he had killed him. It was like for a year or something like that.
And so it's
he
too just bad got that, out of like prison. Breaking Bad wasn't on TV back then, because then they could have, you know, dissolved the body in a bathtub.
The thing of it is, and now it's like he just got out, and all these people are backing him about this. You know, I don't know the circumstances about that, but I found that very creepy that you'd want to hang out with somebody that took 14 hours to dismember a body, and you want to call that. You're one of your friends. You know,
a celebrity.
Just, well, yes, and the kids are still looking. You know, that scene, whole scene died when he went to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of funny that, you know, I think they're wanting to relive that for just a moment. And they want to be around him for the celebrity of what he did. But I just find that very weird to me.
Well, I think people were really, they were in love with him as a person. And they saw, you know, the people that were close with him, you know, they had fun with him. They partied with him. And then they saw him just get so into drugs. Because they're like, he just didn't take any drug. He took all
the
drugs.
I think that they loved him for what he could give them, when that was the drugs back in the day.
And so I think that, you know, they just saw, like, it was a downward spiral, and that was his rock bottom. And so they're hoping that, like, maybe life will be different these days, like, now that he's out of prison. Because I guess he was up for parole a couple of times, but the judge had reportedly seen Party Monster. It was like, the movie was so bad, I'm not letting you out of prison. But, and I think also, too,
Seth Green ruined his life.
But, you know, and I'm
Macaulay Culkin.
I have a friend, and I'm sure you know who this person is. He wrote to me. He said, James St. James once told me years back at Pepper Lounge that Michael Alec ate Angel's testicles when he kept the body in the apartment. James was drunk as hell when he told me that. So it may or may not be true.
I wouldn't doubt it. When you're on drugs like that.
Why would you not eat somebody's testicles? I guess if you're going to eat something from a man, it's probably going to be the testicles, right?
I mean, there's videos of people chopping their own testicles online.
Yeah.
But isn't it weird?
There
like,
is?
Yes.
You know, for all the kind of crimes that human beings are capable of, murder is a really strange one because one involves, you know, consumption of the dead body. Like, you hear about this all of the time that murderers want to eat the body that they're killing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost that part of the brain that you're just like so vicious and so violent and so angry that you're ready to like bite the, you know, like Mike Tyson biting the ear or like, you know, the legend of Buffalo Bill and Silence of the Lambs.
And sometimes, though, it's kind of like with the whole Florida thing being with the guys eating the guy's face off. It's the drugs. It's not them. It takes you to another place, a dark place that I think sometimes that people have a hole in the soul that never gets filled. And that drug alleviates that aspect of their life and unfortunately takes them to a place where it does them harm and somebody else, which is never a good thing.
There's a man in Florida. His name is Chris Sevier. And he says that if gay couples have the right to marry their object of sexual desire, even if they lack corresponding sexual parts, then I should have the right to marry my preferred sexual object, which is my porn-filled Apple computer.
Nice. I read that today, yes.
It's a 24-page document. He's suing the state of Florida because he's like, if gays can get married, I should be able to marry my computer.
Well, you don't have to cook at breakfast.
Is it a Mac computer's Pro?
Consensual. Yeah.
Is it a Mac Pro, the little black cylindrical ones? Because those are pretty sexy.
Well, he says, recently I purchased an Apple computer. The computer was sold to me without filters to block out pornography. I was not provided with any warning by Apple that pornography was highly addictive and could alter my reward cycle by the manufacturer. Well, over time, I began preferring sex with my computer over sex with real women. Naturally, I fell in love with my computer and prefer having sex with it over all the other persons or things as a result of a classic conditioning upon orgasm.
That's a lot. Well, it's like that guy that sued Nike, the pimp that sued Nike because there was no warning label that you can't use shoes as a weapon.
Nike.
And he ended up beating like one of his hoes like half to death with a Nike shoe. And so she sued him and then he sued Nike for not giving a warning label.
Don't beat people with shoes.
Yeah.
Did he win?
I don't think it's still in litigation.
Oh my God, that's hysterical. That is hysterical.
We're too litigious, but you know, I sometimes look at my computer with a little wink and a
we have some
turned on
comments from the website too. I'd like to touch upon. Yesterday we did a show with Parker Marie last name. Malloy. Parker Marie Malloy.
I'm just like, you can't remember the name of the guest five minutes ago.
Well, it's three names. So Parker Marie Malloy.
Yes.
And so we talked.
We're now like best friends. Yeah. We're like going to hang out and get coffee and stuff like that.
And she's a blogger, and some people just, they're still not having it. Chicken Girl writes, in a recent episode you discussed, oh, sorry, where is it? Okay. Wow, guys, you actually got this awful person to come on your show. I'm afraid I'll have to pass on this one. Sorry, guys. I'd much rather listen to a two-hour-long special podcast with, Shirley Phelps or one of your other past guests who's got some hate for coming on rather than anything this blogger has to say, which is nothing but negativity. As I said, nothing good can come from social justice bloggers. They're negative, miserable fucks, and trying to get them to change their viewpoint about something is next to impossible. They're the worst. Unless you guys were able to get some common ground with this person, but I'm not going to listen to it to find out. It'll be a waste of my time, quite honestly. But hey, I think it's good to have all sides of the non-troversy say their piece. And she's like,
and after
this, guys, can you call it quits? Really, I think you guys are starting to blow this controversy into something bigger than it really isn't. Mark has said, can we move on now from the issue? And yes, I agree. I think this podcast should move on from the issue, but you guys are bringing it up again and again and again. It's getting pretty tiring.
Well, language is important, and a little grace and dignity is important as well. And Parker Marie Malloy says we can't move forward as a community without addressing these difficult questions that are coming up.
And I didn't find her on the podcast to be negative at all. She was actually like trying to figure out where do we have common ground and what can we do. And yes, I do have a problem with this. This is bullshit. But I don't find that necessarily to be a negative thing because, you know, she's looking for solutions. I think if you're just like, you're negative about something, it's just like you talk disparaging about it, but then you don't want to do anything to change it.
Well, and that's kind of the shortcoming of the internet and internet activism is that everybody reads the headline, but nobody reads the story. Yeah.
And the other thing, they've done an actual study, you know, Chicken Girl, where people actually, they just hate activists. If you say that you're an activist, people start to hate you.
But
and
this is the
there's
thing,
something psychological about it. So it's better you just be like, you know, I'm just a person and these are things I believe in rather than labeling yourself an activist.
This is the things that I took away from that interview with Parker Marie. And you have to have a very hard heart if you listen to the emotional exchange between Alaska and Parker Marie on the phone and not get something out of that. I really do recommend people, if you're not going to listen to all of it, skip to the part with Alaska in the middle of the show. It is really a news-making moment, and certainly like all the LGBT blogs have, this is the only time in 10 years that we've done this podcast that they actually reported on something that was done on our show. First of all, nobody wants to police language here because language really can't be policed. Anyways, maybe there was too much focus on the shemale or tranny, but the real fight is over the clocking challenge. Even several drag queens on the show raised doubts of the taping of it, but the producers forged on again. And because language is organic, nobody gets to control it. But what we're starting to see here now is words that represent a cavalier attitude about others. And so I think it's constructive to raise a red flag and to talk about it. And ultimately, it's about getting to choose what someone calls you. So, for example, that's why we say Cherokee or Native American instead of calling them Indians, is because we're trying to respect what people want, their own destiny, their own sovereignty. You know, a little grace and dignity, baby. That's all we're asking for.
Yeah, it's not much, really, when you think about it.
Is there kind of a schism in the leather community about language or words? Or is there a way to offend a leather man in any way? Because if you call it like a kink or freak or pervert, they love that. They're happy about it.
It's also the intent, mostly, which it goes for anything. It's more than the words in themselves, is the intention behind them. And so, yeah, if you want to offend someone, you can, you know, come up with, like, you can say that, yes, you're a freak, but the intent is that, yes, you are actually a freak. But then they may come back and say, well, thank you, I know that, and I love it, and just turn it around. It's usually what we do. But
I'm a super freak.
Yes. Thank you very much.
I'm and a I earned brick it. House.
And I earned that title. Thank you.
Absolutely.
You have a benefit coming up this Friday here at yes. Touche.
Yes, it's my official IML send-off. Mm-hmm. We have amazing raffle prizes. We're raising money for...
We're going to give you some t-shirts for that.
Thank you. Uh-huh. And we're raising money for the Leather Archives and also help my travel fund.
Where are you traveling to?
I've been traveling. I've been to, since I earned my title, I've been to St. Louis, Green Bay, Toronto, Montreal, Detroit.
Wow.
Yeah, Kenosha.
Have leather, we'll travel.
I've been trying to support my other IML Brothers fundraisers and also get to know other leather communities.
You get some good dick, yeah. I'm sure.
Well, that's a good side effect, yes.
I've seen you.
You're not on the stage right now. Yeah. You can talk
I've seen
really
the well. Men you were with, Miguel. You're pretty good looking guys. You don't fuck ugly.
it's their fun. Yes.
I mean, I was like, one thing.
His only prerequisite is that they have a beard.
Pretty much.
Well, and then they're super fucking hot. We were at a party with Perfidia. And you were there, and you were like, this guy was like attached to you at the hip. Do you remember that? It was
which party was this?
Oh God, it was like 2 years ago. Was it?
Was it like Neverland when we were at Sanctuary?
Uh huh. Yeah, that was it. And it was, and you were there, and it's like this guy, this gorgeous man, was like ready to marry you. He was like in love with you.
I am single, so I guess it didn't work out.
It's kind of funny. What was it? 2 months ago, we went to the Human Gala First down at the Union Station. And one of my biggest thing was trying to get a picture of him with the governor and one with the mayor. So the mayor got done with his big speech that, you know, everybody's in, and here's Miguel in full leather. And so I said, Mayor, would you mind taking a picture with Miguel? And he looks at Mr. Chicago Leather 2014 is what I said. And he looks at Miguel and kind of goes, ha! And like, sure. You know, I just walked over to him and then was like, that's kind
of
neat.
I just shook his hand and I said, I'm also an ambassador of the city. And I said, I'm trying to promote the city the best I can. And then he said, oh, I'll take a photo with you. He had no idea that what the leather community was.
Oh, I'm sure he has an idea. Yeah. I'm sure.
I mean, I'm sure he knows about IML. It's a pretty big money maker for the city.
Mm-hmm. It's an important thing. And I think actually you probably are better received than the mayor is at this
point. Yeah, he's had his bumps in the road.
It's always interesting when I take him to these bigger events that, you know, when I ask him to dress like this, it's people are very responding to him and the way he looks and what is this about? What is that about? You can throw him anywhere in a room, something like that, and he just fits right in like a glove. I mean, and people are drawn to him. They want to know what this is about. Whereas sometimes, like we were talking about, the stigma of the whole leather scene, where he makes it a common ground where you can actually talk to him about it. And he's very talkative. He's a good talker.
I like to make friends. Bitch, we know Miguel is hot.
So what time is your thing on Friday for anybody who wants to go?
It starts at 9:30. It's at Touche.
And will there be a show? Are you doing something?
Well, the MC is Mr. Chicago Leather 2013, Nick Zuko.
Who's very hot.
Yes,
he is. I saw him as a friend on Facebook, as a recent friend, and I was just like, damn.
If you, you'll
I should have had him on last year.
You'll get his attention if you're 6'5 or above.
Oh, he's the boyfriend. Yes.
So on Facebook, he has a t-shirt that says, must be 6'5" to ride. And then his boyfriend has a t-shirt that says 6'5".
Yes, literally exactly. 6'5". Yeah.
So anybody that's 6'5"? Or is it just...
Yeah. He likes to climb on things. Yeah. On people, so yes.
He's a leprechaun.
I have a footstool that I which I actually have pulled out for sexual purposes before.
You know,
because he was 6'7", and I was just like, I want to kiss you without you being hunched over.
So he pretty much called me. He called me earlier this week, and he said, "So about Friday, is there anything off limits?" And I said, oh, so what is, are you going to do a roast or something? He's like, I have a couple of things planned. I just want to make sure that it's okay with you. And I said, bring it on. Whatever.
I'm dying to know. You're such a nice guy. And, you know.
Oh, I have my.
What the hell is he going to say?
We call him his Shirley Temple moments.
Okay.
Good Shibali.
There's a lot of dirt out there somewhere. Well, sure.
Listeners, if you can dig up dirt on Miguel, please leave it in the comments.
Yeah, I want to know what kind of insult he's going to give you. Before we wrap this up, I want to talk about the new study that shows gay men, bisexual folks, and lesbians get turned on by same-sex pheromones. Pheromones are not just for heterosexual people. They're for everyone.
Mm.
And so when you smell a hot guy and get turned on by him, it's pheromones are a factor in there.
And that kind of goes into that you know, the world is not black and white. You're not 100% gay or 100% straight. It's like a big, I believe in it's a big sliding scale.
Yeah.
I find some women very attractive. I consider myself gay. I consider myself an 80%er.
Oh, okay.
So
there's a little bit of LGBT inside you and me.
Yes, exactly. There's some people are very sexy, including women. There's some women that I found really, really sexy.
All right, lady. Any ladies want to suck my dick are more than welcome.
It's hard to have sex with a lady, though, when you're gay, isn't it? Or when you identify as gay.
What do you mean
well,
by that?
No.
Or do they not
tell,
know?
You go to a bar and you tell, and I've done this with my straight coworkers. They love to go into straight bars with me because since I have nothing to lose, I will go and talk to the women. And then they go in after for the kill.
It's kind of like Miguel Torres's version of bait bus.
So I go there, talk to them, and the first thing I said is, hey, I'm gay. I want to tell you I'm gay, but you're beautiful. Boom. And five seconds, I'm touching their boobs.
Speaking of bait bus, Lady Gaga's coming to town, and she has that Born This Way bus that she has. And I just read on Facebook, Precious Jewel, who's been on this podcast before.
Transgender
activist, works at the Center on Halstead, our community center, is going to be like the Chicago liaison for Lady Gaga's mental health clinic for these kids that come to her concerts and be like, I need help.
I am dying to see that.
I know. Precious, I want a tour of the bus.
You know what's amazing? I've watched her grow into such a woman over the last few
Precious.
Years. Yes, mm-hmm. She is an amazing person, sweet person, just beyond belief. And it's been a blessing to really watch her, you know, start as a little boy in a dress and become a very beautiful, elegant woman that helps this community out the way she does. I think she does amazing work. She's genuine when she does it.
And she's hot.
Yeah, and she's beautiful. She's very, you know.
And she wants you to know that she has not had any surgery done on her badunkadunk.
Sometimes she'll post stuff. It's kind of one of those people, you know, stalk people, and she'll post something on Instagram, and she looks amazing. What we call, I don't know if this is the right word, but like fishy. You know what I'm saying? She looks really, really good. And it's been amazing to watch her grow into the woman that she is.
Well, for a while, she was trying to get, and she's a transgender woman who also identifies as a drag queen and was trying to get on RuPaul's Drag Race, but she decided it's not for her.
Yeah.
So, So, go, more power to you and your bait bus, Precious Jewel. I mean, your therapy bus.
Remind folks, too, that we can't do this podcast without your help. So, if you're not a premium subscriber yet, consider doing that today. Sign up at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution, your ongoing monthly subscriptions or your once a year subscriptions are what makes this show happen.
And we got new t-shirts, brand spanking new t-shirts designed by us, made by us. And no, we do not use any American Apparel because I was just reading about this, that American Apparel is like kind of not pissing off a lot of like LGBT people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that legalized gay t-shirt that they were putting out?
They just pocketed the money. Oh. They didn't do anything with it.
Well, if anybody's interested more about American Apparel, make sure you check the tag on Feast of Fun, and you can see Nancy Upton, who really took American Apparel to task.
To task. She was on our show. Mm-hmm. So we make these shirts ourselves, and 100% of the proceeds support the podcast, pays for our servers, our equipment, our audio, our the vacuum cleaner, the electricity. And so the new shirts are Shantae, Charisma, Uniqueness, Nerve, and Talent. And then there's The Shade is Strong with this one.
With a fabulous peacock on it.
And then Reading is Fundamental with an owl with its claws out. And you can get that at feastoffun.com/store. Our 2000th show, we've been doing this for almost 10 years now, is coming in June. And to celebrate, we're creating a challenge for our audience.
We would like to raise $2,000 by our 2,000th show. So we're going to set up a meter. And if you'd like to donate something, because, you know, the show, yes, the subscriptions do help pay for the show, but we also do need some extra help from time to time. And I think that this is a nice goal, $2,000. It will really kind of let Fausto and I sleep a little easier at night.
Yes, and every single penny goes to supporting the podcast. So if you're a listener, donate $1. That's all we ask. And we'll easily get the 2,000 by the 2,000th show. And
or
so
donate $50. Donate $1,000.
Some of you
if
guys
you have 2,000, donate 2,000.
If you got some of that startup money, you know, if you the new wealth, spread it, honey. The one percenters, you know, give us a 0.05% of your money.
We won't spend it all on drugs, I swear.
None of it gets spent on drugs. All the drugs,
maybe just a little bit.
All the drugs that have ever been spent on is that were brought to us by our guests, and that was like only once. Sharon Needles, and yeah, well, Sharon.
We just love Sharon.
Yeah. Awesome. So, well, thank you guys so much for coming. Tomorrow on the podcast, we're having one of the first openly gay football players. You've heard of Michael Sam. Well, this young man actually came out much
in like 2004, 2005. He was on Nebraska, which their college football team, and that's a big team. So his name is Eric Lucian, and he's very handsome, and he'll be on tomorrow's podcast talking about what it was like to be out in college.
Imagine if Dustin Lance Black was a football player. That's basically what he looks like.
He's really more handsome than Dustin Lance.
Yeah,
Black.
He's smoking hot. So if you don't tape a podcast, you know what happened.
Dustin Lance Black has moved in with his boyfriend, with Tom Daly, the Olympic swimmer. They're now living together.
How romantic.
I know. And Dustin was actually, he was disinvited from speaking at his alma mater because of the sex pictures that came out a few years ago. And he raised a stink about it. He was like, listen, I was a victim there, and now you're victimizing me twice. What's up with that? So they've reinvited Dustin Lance Black to come and talk at the commencement.
It's just so fucked up that he can't just say, like, I had sex, it was hot, so what?
He kind of did.
And now, finally.
But he didn't say in the beginning. He was like, I'm sorry people get the wrong. But I just think he was hurt and he was crushed.
Yeah.
You know? And it's and violated.
When you have, like, ex-boyfriend basically leaking naked photos of you in compromising positions, it's
kind of like
a good thing.
Johnny, that's the Olympic skater, and all that drama
Johnny Weir
played out in front of everybody.
Well, Johnny Weir has a couple of bolt screw.
It was just...
A couple of screws loosed. Loose.
Yeah, it was just amazing to watch that whole drama play out in public forum. And why? Why
Because
the
it was like they were going to get together, and then they were going to like break apart, and then get back together.
Did you see the prenup that he made him sign, though, that after they got back together?
Oh, yes.
No mutual masturbation, no this, no that. I'm like, oh, please.
Well, it's because they had an open relationship, but they only could have sex with the same person at the same time. So, and
it was only three ways they would do?
Yeah, it was only three. Well, and of course, it started becoming Johnny Weir as a celebrity, and so he hooks up with everybody, as celebrities do.
Well, it's why you become a celebrity.
That's right, people. Can I get an amen or anything?
Send your cock shots to mail@feastofun.com.
That's right. And you know, his husband felt estranged and wasn't part of that sexual activity, and so... they start fighting a lot, you know, and usually it's like when you fight with someone you love, you are very vicious. You hurt the ones you love.
Well, there was domestic abuse there, yeah. Too.
One of my favorite lines is you tiptoe and eggshells to go straight for the jugular vein. Very, very quickly.
Michael, Miguel Torres, Anthony Mead, thank you guys so much for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Guys. If you guys want to have a comments or carry them on the site, do so at feastoffun.com. John Mark Robbins wants to know if you're into redheads. I would say...
Of course.
You're into John Mark Robbins. Believe me, he's very sexy.
Yeah, very sexy. Is he coming for IML?
I think he might be, yeah.
He was supposed to come and do some kind of bear yoga. I don't know if that's going to happen. John Mark, let us know.
John Mark. Contact you.
Honey, he's like... He can
You'll
get
like
into
it.
A pretzel.
You're like, good luck with the competition.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks.